Hey, John says this texter, I don't feel bad for those players. They are well compensated. I do that all the time. When I think about the travel that the players go through or the managers, but Major League Baseball teams particularly, you turn on the TV, they're in San Francisco. The next day you turn on the TV and they're performing at a very high level in Milwaukee. And you say, wait a minute, how did that happen? Well, they got on an airplane right after the game. They flew. They got to sleep at 3 in the morning. They woke up at 9 in the morning, and then they got out to the ballpark, and then they did it again, and then they got on an airplane, and they do that for 9 months. And I just don't think that's very easy. I think we completely lose sight of that. And then some of the days, it's 100 degrees out there. They are well compensated. That doesn't change the fact that that must have been very difficult to do. John, the automatic feature for the headlights does not work when it's raining. You tell me now, 630. Hey, John Williams, some 20 years ago, we drove to the Cubs game from the suburbs. It was 90 degrees. On the way down, there was a weather wall, 70s on the other side. The game time, it was in the upper 50s, if memory serves. It changes that quickly. Well, it sure did on Saturday, and the crowd went wild. Raja Krishnamurthy is the 8th Congressional District Democratic Congressman from the Chicago area. He's joined us many times. I turned on the TV today, and he was on CNN from Chicago. Congressman, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey, John. Good. How are you doing?
Good. You're in Chicago today, then, are you?
I am. And then back to D.C. for an action-packed week.
Yeah, no kidding. Wednesday, now you're on the Intel, you're on a couple of committees, but it'll be the Intel committee that you'll be sitting on Wednesday, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. On Wednesday, it's Mueller time, so to speak. We have Bob Mueller and the Intel committee in the early afternoon. And then Thursday, I just want to point out for your audience that we're having the first ever hearing. I'm the chairman of a subcommittee of oversight. We're bringing in the founder of Juul Labs to grill him about the epidemic happening among our youth with regard to vaping.
Let's just talk about that for a second, and then we'll spend more time on the Intel on Wednesday. But what will be the purpose of this grilling? It's a legal product, right? And maybe not as bad as tobacco.
It's legal to sell to adults. However, it's illegal to sell to minors, and it's also illegal to target them, which is what we believe may be happening. I don't know if you've seen what's going on with the advertising and marketing of vapes or e-cigarettes. It looks eerily familiar to the type of advertising and marketing that happened with cigarettes and Marlboros and so forth. But I just want to point out two statistics for your consideration. One is 20% of high school students are now vaping. 5% of middle schoolers are using e-cigarettes. And the number of people who were vaping among our youth went up by 78% in 1 year. And 75% of the market is owned by Juul. So this is very serious. We're having a whole new generation of people addicted to nicotine, many of whom would never have even started smoking. And so it is personal for me as well, because I have 3 young children, and I just don't want this to happen to anybody.
Raj, those numbers shock me. 20% of high schoolers vape. I wonder if there's overlap.
It's crazy.
Do they also smoke cigarettes? It's probably a much smaller percentage, but say it's 5% of kids smoke cigarettes and 20% vape. That's 1/4 of the high school population is doing one of those two. I got 2 words for you to throw at the Juul people on Thursday: tobacco settlement. If they're smart, they remember. And you know, the tobacco industry was able to weather that, right? They're so gigantic. You can find them billions, and they're still okay. But you'd think they'd want to avoid that.
That's exactly right. And the lawsuits are beginning now against Juul Labs.
Really?
They are, And I think they've got to take a strong look in the mirror and figure out, do they want to go the way of Philip Morris and Marlboro, or do they want to go a different route? But we're going to be asking them very tough questions on Thursday. This is the first congressional hearing of its kind, and in any case, that's also consuming our time right now.
Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy, who will be sitting in front of you on Wednesday?
Wednesday is Bob Mueller, so on the Intelligence Committee, he's going to be testifying alone. and we're going to have at least 2 hours with them.
So will you, last time we spoke and you sort of looked behind the curtain for us and showed us how different Congress people will have different areas of attack or inquiry, if you will. What are you going to be focusing on when you get to talk to Mr. Mueller?
I'm still hashing out the questions, but I think, you know, one big line of questioning that he will be asked about is, you know, what he did not do with regard to the investigation. What were, you know, Donald Trump drew some red lines around the investigation, and, you know, one of the questions is, did he observe those red lines or cross them? Did he get into the president's finances? Did he look at the counterintelligence risks of the links between Trump officials and the Russian government, regardless of whether they amounted to a criminal conspiracy?
How long will he be testifying, Congressman? Do you know? Will he be there for a couple of days?
No. It's basically the better part of the day. So he'll be in the Judiciary Committee for 3 hours and then the Intel Committee for two at least.
Look, Congressman, it's Steve in the newsroom. I think John was getting at, do the Democrats have sort of a narrative for how they want the day to go with questioning? I mean, is there going to be an opening, a middle, and a close through all of you, or are you each independently coming up with your own questions?
Okay, so we're trying to avoid kind of overlap and duplication of questions, and so trying to give some idea about what each of us wants to question Bob Mueller about. That being said, there's a little, I mean, it's real life TV, so to speak, unfolding. So there has to be some ability to respond to answers that he gives,
yeah,
or simply to clean up, or give him an opportunity to answer allegations that might be made by the other side. So, for instance, today, the president, I don't know if you saw this, he tweeted that Bob Mueller is extremely conflicted. I think he called him highly conflicted. And I think that's going to be part of the narrative tomorrow from the other side. And so giving him an opportunity to potentially respond to something like that might be a useful exercise.
Well, Bill Barr found that there was nothing to prosecute the president on, and people were frustrated because they feel that Mr. Mueller fell short on that. He must have had an opinion. Will it be the purpose of this investigation, this testimony, to get him to say, yes, you should bring charges? Is that the holy grail for Democrats on this?
Well, it very well could be asked of him. I personally wouldn't be asking him that question, since I'll be focused on some of the facts and findings of Volume 1. But right. I think Volume 2, with regard to obstruction of justice, I do think that there might be questions about, you know, well, if he was not a, you know, sitting president, would you indict him? That kind of thing. I anticipate that some questioning might happen along those lines. But I think that he will probably stick to his report, but even if he does, I think him saying, giving voice to those findings would be significant, given that, you know, the vast majority of the public hasn't read the report.
Do you think this
go ahead, Steve.
I'm sorry, Congressman. Do you think Wednesday is going to be a satisfying day for Democrats or a dissatisfying
That's
day?
That's what I'm wondering.
I think that either way, if he gives voice to the findings, if he says what he found, that will be significant in and of itself. I think that the vast majority of the public hasn't read the report. I think that, you know, it's kind of like a lot more people have seen Godfather the movie than read the book. And I think that's,
I understand that,
in part, what's going to happen here.
Here's a debate we've been having for a while, and that is, it doesn't seem like he's been real anxious to testify. He has not spoken publicly about this since he was appointed to investigate the president. So for the first time, we're going to hear this man's voice, and it sounds like he just wants to stand by the written report. So I sense that there might be some frustration given a chance to finally ask him about why he pulled up short. If he just says it's all in the report, those are our findings. You'd think that this is your opportunity to get him to expand a little bit on that. And I guess that goes... Go ahead, Raj.
And I think that he is not confined by the report. We won't be confined in our questions by what's in the report. And certainly Bill Barr wasn't confined in his distortions of the report by what was actually in the report.
Right.
But that being said, if he answers questions about the report and clarifies sections and also just lays them out, I think that will be important because, as I said, I think a lot of people might be casually tuned into what his investigation was about, but I think they'll be paying close attention to what he says on Wednesday.
Raja Krishnamurthy is the 8th Congressional District Representative from the Chicago suburbs. Good luck to you, Congressman. We'll be watching. We'll be listening. We'll visit with you later in the week.
Sure. Thank you.